The following podcast is rated I for intellectual. It contains jargonistic terminology that might be too stimulating for some listeners. Topics discussed are approached with an emphasis towards educational fair use. Critical thinking is advised.
Welcome to Special Topics in Media, a podcast devoted to examining popular culture one artifact at a time, one season at a time, and I would like to provide a broad introduction for listeners because this specific season, we could even call it a mini season, is going to combine a number of unique qualities that I want to unpack for us here. First of all, this season is actually a retro rewind. We are winding back the clock to our second season of producing this pod. It was a season, I'll say this, that wasn't available publicly and thus produced in a more kind of clandestine approach to keeping information kind of privileged. Not necessarily, well, we could probably say behind a paywall of sorts, an academic paywall. In this season, it's a shift back or forward, I guess, depending on your perspective, to the realm of comics studies. And joining me in that comics studies season was none other than
me.
Scott McMurray.
All you had to do to be able to listen to these podcasts, which were done, 3 years ago?
So we began recording these in 2019.
Yeah.
But one is from the spring of 2020. Yeah. It was a special recording season because we were contained. We were sent home with limited capabilities, recording remotely during the quarantine period.
It was back before microphones even invented. We used tin cans and strings, and you can tell.
That's a great point you're going to make, because for those listening now, these were produced at a period where we had limited technology to use, and so on one hand, we were given specialty equipment to take home, in addition to, say, VPNs, all the things that help protect us during that period, but we had organizationally invested in bulk, some desktop webcams that were helping us streamline all of our work, right? The many meetings we were a part of, the different classes we were holding virtually, and those webcams, pretty limited capacities, were what we were recording on.
Yeah.
And on top of that,
especially the microphones, what we're concerned
more
about.
Of that, then they were. These files were then filtered through the convergence of Zoom because we were having to connect to record, to converse about our subject matter. Well, I mentioned comic studies before.
We were actually recording that through Zoom.
Correct.
And Will was picking up the Zoom sound file to edit it, right?
Video audio, right?
Yeah,
these conversations that we're going to have in season two, technically they've been produced as vlogs before. Mm-hmm. And I believe nearly all of the episodes you could currently tune into right now on my academic YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get something special out of following these through this normal feed. This is the first time we've released them on this feed, the Special Topics in Media pod feed.
I was about to say, before this, you would have had to pay college tuition to see
That's right. Yeah. They were
always, look how valuable they are.
They've been made available. And I guess let's explain that connective tissue here. Special Topics was born out of a synergistic effort to expand upon teaching tools for our Special Topics Media Studies courses. And the goal initially was to be able to synchronize conversational dialogic learning off what are sometimes a kind of affiliate colleague Kyle Hammonds would call the democratization of democratized forms of dialogic learning, but to complement what is often a lack of seat time in a media studies course, because if you must invest a certain amount of time to screening or working through media content, then you have an absence of maybe some of that formal lecture time.
It can be a problem in higher ed generally, especially as we move to accelerated formats, and as we
that being another X
we
factor.
Start to we've been through a decade or two or more of sort of deprivileging the lecture, I think sometimes that's hurt us, but we've found other ways to, get content in front of people. This is one of them, is that you can essentially hear the lecture. You can hear a discussion about this topic from academics without having to do that in class.
Well said. And in a world in which the lecture has been demystified, we are looking to kind of rebirth and renew a sense of not simply the lecture, but a dialogic conversation that can allow us to tackle the content in similar but distinctly different ways. And that really is the heart of what Special Topics in Media is. And then once we begin to run more successive courses in this field area, we were beginning to pick up on the momentum of, you know, the volume of episodes per season, and then develop strategies that allow us to kind of turn it into a consistent product, a product that represents the same mission goals of the original intent. And so while longtime listeners can definitely associate this with a broad approach to topics so that we can sustain continuity over considerable periods, these mini seasons really are coinciding with some awesome academic opportunities. Mm-hmm. And one such is about to kick off. We're going to have one of those accelerated courses, as you described it before, launching in the very near future. And one of the several focus readings is going to be Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Absolutely seminal.
A seminal work, a masterpiece of graphic literature storytelling. I think in my master's thesis, I wrote something to the effect that I like to compliment other theoretical works. And Kenneth Burke was someone I studied a lot. Mm-hmm. He had this famous chapter in this book, Literature as Equipment for Living. I want to say I cribbed that phrasing and in one of my thesis chapter titles, referred to a graphic literature as equipment for living.
Yeah.
Now you wouldn't read, say, Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns and then, you know, like figure out how to, I don't know, survive a doomsday or pick up the art of crime fighting, vigilantism. No, but when we think about these texts as not simply entertainments, but as informed critiques of social issues we face, of kind of the complicated political ideologies and circumstances we find ourselves in, this is one of those ways that art can work, even commercial art can work to sustain us in intellectually stimulating ways, but maybe even something deeper than that.
A difference between you and me is I'm old enough to, I mean, you were alive when this was released, but probably not old enough to be reading it.
Definitely not in the readership in 1986.
I was married in 1986 is when I had my first child, you know, Erin, my daughter. And so I was someone who appreciated the subtext of what you get here in The Dark Knight, and the very dark take. This was so mind-blowing at the time. Such a dark take on what I think you've called the Silver Age Batman, you know, Adam West or whatever, clean cut.
Kind of goofy, bright colors.
Right, always standing for justice. And
a lot of illogical plots, a lot more magic than
exactly
science.
And superheroes are always good. And this was sort of the beginning of something that we've seen now just absolutely embraced and considered over and over again. This and The Watchmen.
Alan Moore's Watchmen.
Were the same year, and they both had this same sort of dark take on sort of a post-Cold War take, mm-hmm. sort of in the shadow, especially The Watchmen, in the shadow of nuclear holocaust.
Absolutely.
You know, which was such a much a bigger concern when the Soviet Union was still intact. And really asking that question, you know, to be somebody who dresses up in a costume and fights bad guys, don't you have to be slightly mentally ill? That's,
yeah.
You know, it's a legitimate question. And is that person really somebody who we want enforcing laws and and, you know, putting people in prison.
You know, you mentioned the Silver Age, and so fortunately, students in the class are going to get a chance to read a few different books. We hope that you'll carve out some time for each and really just learn how to cling to the ones that mean the most to you. But we really encourage you to sample them all. But we're going to look at Chris Gavaler's superhero comics book as a larger historical cultural studies text that can walk us through the history of how comics were sort of formed and how the superhero genre emerges within the comic book mass medium of print to become this fanciful art form that's narrative and it's exciting. But then over time, this is a normal thing that we see play out in other ways today with later generations. But generationally, the books are going to mature over time because their readers are going to mature over time. Right. And those that first encountered them as children, they're going to grow up to become the writers and artists, and then they're going to want to put their imprint on it, and then it's going to move, but then they're still reflecting kind of cultural issues of the day. It's a really fascinating way to examine cultural history.
As you know, Batman was one of the very earliest ones. Batman and Superman are both very early on. And those, if you read those old comic books, I think Batman was Detective Comics.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, they are really, they're really pretty simplistic, moralistic tales.
And Superman first appearing in Action Comics.
Action Comics. And often even including, I remember especially a lot of early Batman stories include children because you can tell this is being pitched to children and basically ended up being a moralistic tale about how children should behave. I remember one of the early ones boy who...
This was about adhering to the comics code authority,
that's
right?
That's right. And so that...
Regulatory body.
I think, like you say, you have a generation after that that grew up and then their kids and start to kind of say, you know, that is not really a realistic issue, right? That's... those are not the issues that we're grappling with. We're grappling with, you know, loss of our environment. We're grappling with governments that cannot cooperate and may lead us into nuclear war. And readers were hungry for a serious turn. And The Dark Knight is one of these that really moves the form. There were some earlier examples, but it moves a mass media culture figure like Batman, who's been around since the beginning, into a much deeper, much more challenging, much more morally vague position, sort of an anti-hero position.
Absolutely.
And lets us look at it from that angle, and it's engaging and it's exciting.
Those are certainly positions that we retain in some capacities today. And so we're going to see over the course and then of this mini season what that looks like. And we're going to have some reflective specials once we wind down discussion on the book proper. Let me preview the format for how this mini season is going to go for listeners. Frank Miller's mini series event was released in four parts, what we call four books, telling a single story, right? A linear chronology to that narrative. And so since upon its completion, for the most part, the book has been re-released, republished as what we now refer to as a graphic novel. Mm-hmm. A graphic novel being a singularly bound text that contains the beginning, middle, end of this story. But we're going to approach it in that serialized format in which it was released. And that is the traditional way in which comic books are historically released, one episode at a time, one issue at a time. And so each episode of this season, which was our second season, we're kind of re-releasing it now, but re-releasing it for the first time publicly. So episode one proper will focus on book one, episode two focus on book two, and so on. So we're going to get moved through these four parts of the book, talk about the text. It's primarily going to emphasize textual analysis, and we're going to examine. That's why we want it to be a comparative tool for our students, because they're assigned one book per week from this graphic novel to follow along with. And then when we conclude it, not unlike the course, we're going to have a conversation about adaptation and how this book is adapted over time and translated into other mass mediums. So then we're kind of having a conversation. This is what we call in media studies, the media effects studies, mm-hmm. right? What happens there? And then we're going to cap the season off with the same conversation, but we hosted virtually a round table. That is to say, a panel conversation with several guests. And we're going to hear from some of them. Here's a fun fact. Let me drop some gospel trivia, special topics listeners here. The round table that will conclude our mini series here is actually our first appearance of Kyle Hall, Kyle Hammonds, excuse me. Kyle Hammonds, acquaintance, a former friend, Kyle Hall, who I used to enjoy comic book fodder with. But Kyle Hammonds is going to join that round table. And so folks will recognize after that point, I had the opportunity to connect with Kyle a couple of different times for some strategically limited mini series like mm-hmm. this. Buckle up, right? Get your fuel up the bat tanks and get ready for some what should be some enriching conversation. Again, not to kind of like play too heavy into the golden age and silver age lore of comics of the 50s and 60s, but it may sound like Scott and I are communicating through a tin can connected by a string, right? Those old Campbell tin cans. But in fact, it's that twice kind of compressed audio. We're going to do our best to update some of that. I'm going to provide some lead-ins each episode to kind of remind folks that it produced in an imperfect fashion, but I would argue a very fashionable conversation that holds up over time.
You remember my backdrop on Zoom? I was actually transmitting from the Bat Cave, so
why. So you are, in fact, in the underground bunker that I'm going to purport to be our through line here, whereas I see myself in more of like this space station, right? Evading the doomsday of the pandemic via the space station escapism, a la Planet of the Apes, a la Why the Last Man.
I couldn't have been more surprised to only learned a few minutes ago that you and Will had been working on cleaning up these episodes, remastering it to re-release them. And I'm glad because, it's hard to state how you can't overstate how important this graphic novel was to what subsequently happened and the way the media effects you talk about. Not only Christopher Nolan picking this up and making a fantastic, one of his best movies from it, but, Marvel, who did maybe a better job with their content than DC did, realize that, among other things, this new age of comics, look at these beautiful graphics. These are storyboards for movies.
Absolutely.
And Marvel latched onto that and said, we've got a dozen movies in the can. We just need to get them on the screen.
Absolutely. Well, and not only that, I think about the timeliness of this. When we were holding these conversations, they were in the midst of filming yet another new reboot of the Bat franchise that was delayed by the pandemic, and then its release delayed a whole nother year. Yep. This was the Robert Pattinson vehicle, tentatively called the Batman. Batman. We've actually yet to have... you and I certainly haven't had a conversation about that film, and I haven't hosted any content on it. Although, now that I say that, Kyle and I did record a conversation.
Did you?
It's unreleased conversation on The Batman, and perhaps we could tag it onto the end of this mini season, and then maybe even you and I can kind of come back in and bookend things. It's always a lot of fun. We enjoy this a lot.
Even if you don't read graphic novels, and you're interested in this kind of stuff, pick one you ought to pick is The Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything that is a better example of what can be done in the graphic novel format. And you'll see the connections. You'll see how important this was to what happened not only in graphic novels, but in cinema as well.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thank you for humoring me with a rather impromptu conversation.
It was.
But it's merited in this case because we're really looking forward to introducing students to this text and artifact. We hope that listeners will will give that extended attention span to some of these conversations. This book will remain in circulation. It's too impactful not to. It is joining the pantheon of contemporary literary works. Yeah. It is fascinating.
Unironically,
a lot of those expectations between, say, previously understood high culture, low culture points. It's something that kind of rather in a punkish form smashes those expectations. Well, we hope you enjoyed as much as we do. I hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy talking about comics, graphic novels, the cultural history of America through these unique forms, and enjoy for what's to come in this special Dark Knight Returns season of Special Topics in Media.
Special Topics in Media is presented in cooperation with the Communication, Media, and Ethics Program at Mid-America Christian University. Special Topics is written and produced by Garrett Castleberry, Executive Advisor Scott McMurray, Audio Engineer and Executive Producer Will McMurray, Graphic Design by Allison Garner, and Music Composed by Austin Foster.